Now, you'll find my text this morning in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 10. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. The congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Mark 6, verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. They were to go. The Lord desired that they would have further time in more of a secret way with him, that they would be blessed further. Now we know that such an opportunity wasn't particularly known because of the others who came. But oh, they would find time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Come with Jesus. Are you listening? Are you going? Do you respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? I am coming, Lord. I'm coming to thee because I desire to know more of that fellowship with thee. I will go with thee. Do you recognize his voice? On the day of resurrection, Mary Magdalene, she was so upset in the garden, she was weeping uncontrollably. Not just a few tears, but she was weeping uncontrollably. Jesus drew near. Mary didn't recognize our Lord to begin with. She thought him to be just the gardener until he said her name, Mary. And she responded, Master. When you hear the voice of the Lord in the West, do you respond, Master? It is the voice of my beloved. Notice verse 8 here, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Well, here in the song, we hear the voice of the beloved. Now, just briefly, there's a number of things we could consider in Scripture that shows to us that the Song of Solomon chiefly concerns Christ and the church. Yes, there are lessons we can consider for a husband and a wife, but chiefly the Song of Solomon concerns Christ and the church. One example, if you were to go to Psalm 45, it's like a key that unlocks the song. And if you go through Psalm 45 and then Hebrews chapter 1, you particularly consider the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 41. Well, in verse 2 of Psalm 41 we read, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Well, in light of that, what do we read in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 16? His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. So there's the key, as Matthew Henry points out. But we particularly go to the road to Emmaus, and what a sermon it was, from Genesis all the way through to Malachi. And our Lord opened the scriptures, in all the scriptures, and that includes Esther, the things concerning himself. And that includes the Song of Solomon. What a sermon it was. And when he came to the Song of Solomon, those two were taken, as they were taken with the rest of his sermon. No wonder their hearts burned within them. They didn't recognize who it was to begin with, but there was a work with him. Our Lord makes plain himself, as we see in Luke 24, in all the scriptures. And who are we to question that and disregard the Song of Solomon? So without any shadow of doubt, the Song of Solomon chiefly concerns Christ and the church. Well, just one or two more brief comments. Just come with me to the third verse. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Is Christ sitting under Christ, knowing the fruit? And what do we sing in Psalm 34? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we see that here in the third verse of the Song of Solomon. Then notice verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Well, the banqueting house in the gospel feast, But then we can go further and consider times when the Lord draws near in a so special way, and there is dining, such as in the public worship of God. There is the word, there is praise, there is the sacrament, the Lord's Supper, what blessings we know. And then verse 6, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. The supports are there. We think of a husband who embraces his wife, but much more consider Christ, who embraces his church, an individual believer as well. We're supported, our heads are supported, so we need it. And then he draws us near to assure us of his love, and so he does, for we need it as well. Well, there's much we could consider here in the Song of Solomon. Our text today is verse 10. My beloved spake, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I'd like us to consider, first of all, this morning, the voice. Secondly, the call. We've considered the voice, but then the call. And then thirdly, the response. First of all, the voice. Verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me. My beloved, the beloved one. Can I ask you, is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning the beloved one? Do you love him above anyone else? Has he your heart? My son, give me thine heart, we read in Proverbs. Has your heart been given to Christ? Remember Samuel Rutherford, since the Lord looked on my heart, it is not my own. He hath run away to heaven with it. As the one in heaven this morning, the blessed Saviour, who is there in his immediate presence, but also here in a spiritual way, has he your heart? And are you responding, my beloved? You may say, well, I'm troubled, as you will consider tonight. I struggle. My love seems small, but he's my beloved. My beloved spake and said unto me. He spake. Now that implies he's there. He speaks to us through the word today. He is there. He's at the Father's right hand. There are people who say, well, I don't believe he's there, but he is. He's there in heaven. At the Father's right hand, he's leading the song, Hebrews 2, verse 12 and verse 13. He's making intercession. He ever liveth to do that. He's receiving the praise because he is God. He's there. He is alive in the glory. And his voice has always been heard right back in eternity before this world. And it always will be heard. You consider that counsel of the Trinity in view of the creation of man. Genesis 1 verse 26, and God said, let us make man. So much there, isn't there? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were speaking. There was that counsel of the Trinity in view of the creation of the man. They had always spoken. His voice has always been heard. In eternity before this world was made. He's there. And then consider he spake in the Old Testament. We consider this here this morning, how the Lord speaks in the Song of Solomon. And then when he was here upon earth, there were those who heard him speak. You think of Mary and Joseph, they heard him speak. The first words he ever uttered here upon earth when we think of his human nature. It's amazing, isn't it? You think of a little baby. They say a number of things, but then there comes the first word. Mary and Joseph would have heard the first word from the lips of Jesus. And then consider others. At 12, there were those doctors, those learned men in the temple, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ speak. And then our Lord in his 20s, many would hear him. There would be those that would go into the carpenter shop and hear the Lord speak, but then consider his public ministry. Many more heard him. His disciples heard him. On we could go. The voice of Jesus is heard. We hear his voice through the word. But here's the question this morning. Can you respond and say this? My beloved. My beloved spake. He speaks. but I know his voice. I recognize his voice. Verse 8, the voice of my beloved. It's the voice of Jesus whom I love. The voice. Have you heard his voice? Are you hearing his voice? What a blessing to hear the voice of Jesus. There are a number in this world that can speak to you. There are those who can comfort you. But the voice of Jesus so comforts us. He's the consolation of Israel. He calls. He comes alongside. The voice of Jesus. In all our trials, our burdens, it's his voice we want to hear. I'm thankful for messages. I'm thankful for phone calls. But most of all, I'm thankful for the voice of Jesus. My beloved spake. Do you rejoice in his voice? Do you love to hear his voice? You wives here this morning, you like to hear the voice of your husband, don't you? How we long and love to hear the voice of our beloved Jesus. And let's just consider further, secondly, it's a powerful voice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Here's the church, here's the believer. Looking back a little, he spake, and as we will consider in a moment, it was effectual. Because I responded. I was found in that closer fellowship with him. It's a powerful voice, isn't it? Psalm 29 verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's powerful, isn't it? Just consider, dear child of God, in your own life, there was a time when you didn't know him, but then he spake to you in the gospel in a powerful and effectual way. You remember Matthew, just two words, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Oh, the power of the voice of Jesus. And in our own lives, we can be going through some difficulty and we can be cast down. But then he speaks through the word and we know a little lifting up in our hearts, a little reviving. It's a powerful voice. We consider again and again how the Lord has spoken to you and you've been helped. You've been helped to do what is right, to follow him in that and this. You've been helped to love the brethren because of the powerful voice of Jesus. Consider thirdly, it's a clear voice. John 10 verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear, I know them and they follow. They know. It's a clear voice. The voice of Jesus. He makes plain, doesn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. He makes it plain. It's clear, isn't it? And the people are drawn unto him. Fourthly, it's a gracious voice. My beloved spake. What kindness of Christ towards his people, towards the believer here. What grace. My beloved spake. Do we deserve to hear his voice? No, we don't deserve to hear his voice. It's gracious, isn't it? But then just consider how he so speaks. And we have that in the song of, in Psalm 45. Grace is poured into thy lips. Turn with me to Luke 4 and verse 16. And we're given an insight here. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? All bore him witness at the gracious words. What a solemn thing it was. Because if you go down later into that chapter, they wanted him gone. But they all bore witness. How much more you, dear child of God, and me, have borne witness of the gracious words of Christ. Such grace in his lips, such kindness, such favour. When we're going through a difficulty, he speaks graciously. So kind to us, isn't he? So favourable when we backslide. He's the shepherd and he has such a heart, a shepherd's heart, and it's full of love, compassion and grace. And so he comes and he speaks. He speaks a word to convict when he restores our soul, but then he speaks a word of comfort when we are penitent. Thy sins are forgiven. The gracious words. No wonder the heart can be stirred in view of him. Those gracious words can cultivate through the Spirit faith and love. And we're found looking to him. You know, when someone comes alongside and they speak kindly to you, you're drawn, aren't you? You want to listen a little more. Well, the Lord draws near and they can be that effect, and we, like Mary, are there in anticipation, desiring to know more. Oh, the heart can be stirred. Psalm 45, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I made, touching the king. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into my lips. You see the effect of the words of Christ? They can stir the soul. My heart is inditing. My heart, the principal part of man. And it's inditing. What does that mean, children? Literally to boil. Not in anger, of course. But to know that warmth within, that increasing warmth. You think of water in a kettle. We put the kettle on, don't we? Some of us, we put the kettle on the fire. Wood burner, that's what I mean. Some of you press a switch. Well, that's not so exciting, is it? But you know what the water happens? What happens to the water? It begins to boil. There's activity. And oh, when the Lord speaks at times, there can be this activity within. This warming of the soul. Road to Emmaus, did not our heart burn within us? And it's so amazing, isn't it? That took place before they recognized him. And there are times when things begin to happen in your heart before you really recognize the Lord has come near to your soul to bless you and help you. The effect upon the soul. Heartwarming, isn't it? There's activity. The gracious words can stir the soul. So the compassionate words of Christ. He knows our need. He comes alongside and he speaks a word of compassion. He speaks a word of mercy because he so pities us. Then the loving words. Just go back to verse 6. His left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. You see, he with his hand draws us nearer to assure us of his love, as the commentators point to. And he does that through the word often, doesn't he? And we're being drawn near to his heart. Through the word, and we know that warming within. No wonder we know warming when he draws us nearer to his heart. The heart is touched. Remember those officers who were sent to take our Lord? They couldn't, could they? And they come back to the Pharisees and the chief priests. And what do they say? Never man spake like this man. They were taken. Taken by the gracious words, the powerful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, grace is what we need. So he comes and speaks to our souls. Fifthly, the comforting voice. My beloved spake. If I'm away in some other place, like I was last week at Kent, a little call to someone, my wife, and there's comfort to hear her voice. And you can think of friends or loved ones. You may be away, you may be away on business, you may be away at university or some other place, and there goes the phone call, the phone rather, and it's the voice of someone you love, and comfort is known. My beloved spake. You remember again Mary on the day of resurrection, weeping uncontrollably until Jesus said her name. Master, she responds. What comfort when she heard her name. Just her name. And what comfort the Lord can bring in just one word. And yet we have so many words before us. We can go to so many verses in the Bible and find comfort. And comfort is known. Comfort ye my people. And the word is preached, yes, to rebuke. The sinners need rebuking. And so do the careless. But also there are words of comfort. Because God's people need comforting. He wants you comforted. Oh, how he can speak. Just one word. Mary was aware of Jesus through just one word. Just one word. Two words. Just one verse. Can make you aware of Jesus and comfort fills your heart. Remember, he's the consolation of Israel. He comes alongside. He calls. And there's comfort known. Have you heard his voice? The voice of the beloved. Well, let's consider secondly this morning and more briefly the call. The call. We consider the voice, but now let's consider secondly the call. He's speaking. What's he saying? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And notice again the end of verse 13. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And just pause there. He calls out to you, and he keeps calling out to you. Because sometimes we don't respond. Other times we need him to come quickly and say it again, because we like Peter go sinking. So he comes. He comes again and again. In an initial way, as we see in Revelation 3 verse 20, but also in subsequent ways, in light of that text in Song of Solomon chapter 5, where here he comes, rise my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 13, arise my love, my fair one, and come away. He says it again. I want him to keep saying it to my soul. And I want him to keep saying it to your souls. Rise up my love, my fair one, and come away. Come apart. Come closer. I will draw you. Through grace you will come closer. But make those steps. Come closer for further fellowship, for dining. As we see in Revelation 3 verse 20. Listen to the Reverend John Brown of Haddington commenting on verse 10. Come away. Be direct and drawn by me into the most familiar, delightful, useful and enriching fellowship. Well, the Lord comes. He comes each day to dine with us. He stands at the door and knocks. Now, he does that in an initial way. But in the Song of Solomon, we see he does it in subsequent times. He knocks at the door. Sadly, sometimes he has to knock hard at the door of my heart. But there are some days, as it were. The door is already opening. And he doesn't have to knock hard. But he comes. He comes to dine. Sometimes our hearts are cold. Song of Solomon 5 verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it off? You know, those words went right to my heart a few years ago. I never forget them. I put off my coat. How should I put it on? I hadn't given time for Jesus that day. Well, he came. But there comes a stern. He comes to die. He desires that we would know further fellowship with him. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come closer. There I will feed you and dine with you. I will support you in a most intimate way. The Lord Jesus Christ desires that we would be closer
to him. What a fool. Remember Peter when he fell to sin, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, and that's how we feel at times. But oh, Jesus desires that we would be closer to him, and I'm so thankful for that. And so one day he'll call me home, and he'll call you home, to come up hither into his immediate presence. You know, look on death like that, dear child of God. When the time comes, he wants you to know more of him, more of his love, more of his grace. He wants you home. And you won't be able to stop him. He'll call, and then you'll be there. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, for a closer walk with Jesus. You know, we like to go on a walk, don't we? We fall to the walk in Colossians 2, verse 6, walking in him, that closeness. We like to go on a walk, maybe with a close friend, or your spouse, someone in the family. And you talk. And you're able to talk more, to share more. Oh, there are those times when we are drawn closer to Jesus, and he speaks to us more through his word, and we unburden our hearts more to him. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. John 21, verse 12, what did Jesus say to those disciples? Come and dine. And what a provision it is. Come and have fellowship with me. There was a certain grandfather on the other side of the forest. He sent out invitations to a number of people and to all the families and to all his grandchildren. One grandchild got hold of the invitation, tore it all up and put it through his letterbox. Another grandchild, and that was me, came willingly because I knew the favour and the grace and the love of my grandfather. And I also knew there was a good meal Granny would provide as well. Come and dine, says Christ. He invites you. Pray to me. Turn with me to verse 14. We see this further. Let me hear thy voice. That's what Jesus says to his bride. Let me hear thy voice. He wants to hear you. You may say, well, I struggle in prayer. He wants to hear those groans. Because that's your voice of prayer. Let me hear thy voice when it comes to praise. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. How can that be? But a believer is covered by the righteousness of Christ. Thy countenance is comely. Just consider this again in verse 5 of chapter 1. I am black but comely. There's a mark of grace. We feel our sin. But then we look unto Jesus who has clothed us with his righteousness. Comely, how can that be? Except one is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Let me hear thy voice. He wants to dine with you. We want to hear his voice, don't we? But you just think of this. He wants to hear you. Don't disappoint Jesus, if I could say that this morning. Don't refuse him. Let me hear thy voice. Rise up, my love. You listen to him. He's calling to you now. Sometimes my wife says to me, Ellen, have you been listening? And perhaps I haven't. But are you listening? Rise up, says Jesus this morning. Perhaps there's someone here you're not listening because you haven't got ears to hear. Oh, that the Lord would open your ear. Open your heart. That you would discover how altogether lovely Jesus is. How precious he is. But you who love him, are you listening? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Listening to Jesus. Well, we must close friendly. And finally, the response. Verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For though the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Arise! The believer of the church is looking back here. The people of God. The Lord spake, and he spake again, because he again drew my heart. I went the first time, but I was struggling. Lie backslid, but he came again. Rise up, the response. There's a longing. My beloved spake, the heart is stirred. My beloved spake. And just notice verse 8, the voice of my beloved. You see, the heart is stirred, they're taken with Jesus. There's a response, and there's a going. My beloved spake, there's a quickening. There's a little reviving in the soul. A loved one may say to you, you're going to come on a walk. How do you respond? Too tired today? How do you respond to Jesus? Sometimes we can be a little slow. That's another thing we could consider by turning again to verse 13. He spoke the first time. He has to speak again. But his voice is powerful. You will be drawn closer to him. Rise up, and precious are the times when we rise up through his strength. For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We rise up and we enter into closer fellowship with Jesus, maybe just for a little while. We're taken with him a little more for a moment. We're recognizing his voice, particularly in the word. We may be, as it were, on the mountaintop. We can't always stay on the mountaintop, can we? Like those disciples, they had to come down to the Mount of Transfiguration. But blessed are the times when you know a little mountaintop experience, a little closer walk with Jesus. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I know I need thee, the believer may say to the Lord. I know that thou art doing me good. Take my hand, precious Saviour. Lead me, dine with me. Thou art the beloved of my soul. My heart is stirred. You think of a couple, the wedding day. They're joined together. And then there's the reception. And then they depart. And the husband says, "Will you come now? Oh, come. Take my hand. Dine with me, thou art the beloved of my soul, my heart is stirred, lead me, comfort me, thou hast spoken to me, and no one will keep me back from thee." That's the response we want to say all the time to Jesus. Rise up, my love, my fellow, and come away. Rise up, my love, I so love you. What a comfort that is, dear child of God. You're so loved by Jesus. My fair one. He knows our sin, but he thinks of his righteousness. Come away with me. Dear child of God, spend time with Jesus. More and more. Amen. Amen. O gracious God, we thank thee for thy word. Beloved Saviour, come more often and say to us, rise up. Lord, we are humbled, for we are assured of thy love. And we are humbled because we are assured there of thy righteousness which covers us, for we are not fair in and of ourselves. Lord, it is our desire to go with thee, Lord Jesus, into closer fellowship with thee in the day, in our life, in times of public worship. O Lord, may we be listening out for thee, as we see in Proverbs 8, and may we be responding. Lord, we confess at times we've been like the church in the Song of Solomon chapter 5. No time for thee. Forgive us that, Lord. May we give thee time. O, hear us now. Plenty without Christ, speak to them if it please thee in such a way that they go with thee and so come with us as well. Oh, hear us, for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Well, let's conclude then by turning to our final praise, Psalm 23. The psalm is familiar, but let's not overlook here the Lord Jesus Christ and the provision, the time of dining, that fellowship with him in verse 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. Psalm 23.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he
unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.